Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Amen. So let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, on this Father's Day, we come to you grateful. Grateful that you have shown yourself to us, and you have never broken one single promise that you've ever made. Lord, as we open now your word together this morning, would you speak to each one of us right where we are? Whatever today feels like for us, would you meet us? Holy Spirit, would you take these words this morning and make them living and real for us now? All this we ask in the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen. So it's Father's Day. And I want to be honest, I nearly wasn't going to mention that this morning, because I know that for some of us sitting here this morning, Father's Day is actually quite a complicated day. We spoke about that in Mother's Day as well, actually. Some of us might have had great dads, dads who were always there and good. And today is a good day for people in that situation. But some of us might have had dads who were not there at all. Dads who were not like that at all. Dads who weren't good. Or even some of us here today, lives might have actually been better if our dads hadn't been there at all. And if that's you this morning, then I want you to know that God is with you this morning. And then there's those of us here today who are missing a dad who's no longer with us. And if that's you today, then please know that God is with you this morning. So I hope to handle this morning gently. But here's the thing, I genuinely believe that Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 that we're looking at today has something really special and really important for us this morning, to every single one of us here this morning, whatever our experience of an earthly father has been. Because today, I want to talk to you about a father who has never once let anyone down. A father whose faithfulness is not limited by his mood, his weaknesses, his past, his feelings, his drinking, his temper, or even his own brokenness. But a father who has made promises and kept every single one of them. So this morning we're starting a brand new sermon series that we'll preach right through the summer. It's called Faithful. We'll do that over the next couple of months. We're looking at single verses from across the whole Bible on the faithfulness of God. I did this last year at my probation church, and it went down really well. So I hope we're all blessed by this. Today we're starting at Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. And here's what it says. I'll say it again. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Now, before we get into the verse itself, a wee bit of context around this. The book of Deuteronomy is basically a sermon. It's actually a group of sermons preached by Moses to the people of Israel. And here, they're standing on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. They're just about to cross into the promised land. Sadly, Moses himself, he's not going in. God has told them that his time is up. And these are his final words to the people that he's led and loved for 40 years. 40 years leading them through the wilderness, met for the ups and downs of life. And what does Moses want to leave them with? What's the main point that he wants them to hold on to as they go into the unknown? It's this, Deuteronomy 7:9, know that the Lord your God is the faithful God. He wants this truth to be the thing that they stand on for everything else that comes next. You know, Moses knows there'll be hard times ahead. He knows there'll be days when trusting God will be practically impossible. And he wants them to know this truth. The Lord your God is the faithful God. I know, how much do we know that life brings hard times? And trusting God in our lives at these challenging times can be a challenge as well. So let's work through this together. The verse starts with these two words. It says, know therefore. And that word know, it's really important. He's given them a command. He's saying, know this. Get it really deep inside you. And let this be the thing that shapes you. And the word therefore, that's an important word as well. It means that what follows is the pulling together of everything that has come before. So what has come before? Well, you know, God has been faithful to Abraham. He was faithful through Egypt, through their slavery, through the wilderness, 40 years of it. He gave them food, provided water. He gave direction. He never once left them or walked away. And so on the basis of all of that, it says, therefore, here is what you need to know. The great R.C. Sproul used to say that the most dangerous thing a Christian can do is have a small view of God. The most dangerous thing a Christian can do is have a small view of God. Because what we believe about God, it shapes everything. How we pray, how we face hard times, how we make decisions, how we deal with fear, how we actually live. And Moses would agree with this. He says, know this. And not just know it in your head, but know it deep down in your heart. Let it get all the way inside you. Then we get to the next phrase. It says, the Lord your God is God. That might sound a wee bit too simple. Of course he's God. But in this ancient world, they had all sorts of gods. A god of rain, harvest, loads and loads of gods. And all of them were very limited and they were unreliable. And you know, into that world, God makes this promise. The Lord your God is God. The one true living God who made heaven and earth and who is above every nation and every king. And that matters for this reason, that faithfulness has to be rooted in power. A God who is limited in what he can do cannot be fully trusted. But a God who's sovereign over all things, over the past, the present, and the future, that is a God whose faithfulness actually means something. The Lord your God is God. It sounds simple, but it's one of the most reassuring things in the whole Bible. And then we get right to the heart of it. He is the faithful God. The original Hebrew, the word used here, literally means reliable or trustworthiness. It means that what God says, he does. What he promises, he keeps. It means that his character does not change depending on the circumstances or depending on what we deserve. And here is the thing I want us to really know this morning, because I think it's the most important thing that we might say right through all of these sermons in the whole summer. God's faithfulness comes out of who he is and not out of what we do. I'll say that again. God's faithfulness comes out of who he is and not out of what we do. Because the temptation, and I think we can all feel with this, is to think that God's faithfulness depends on how well we're getting on. You know, if we pray enough, if we read our Bibles enough, if we try hard enough, if we become better people, then we earn God's faithfulness. And then if we fail, if we go through a tough time, if we doubt, if we fall back into that same old sin, then somehow we've lost it. But that is not what this verse says. This verse says that he is the faithful God. That is who he is, and God doesn't change. John Calvin said this, God's covenant is not built on the shifting sands of human merit, but on the rock of his own nature. He is faithful because he is God. He can't be otherwise. I love that. He is faithful because he is God. He can't be otherwise. And on Father's Day, that's worth thinking about. Because even the best earthly dads, even the ones who were genuinely good, are still human and still get it wrong so many times. But God's faithfulness is not like that. Then look at the next phrase. It says, he keeps his covenant of love. The Hebrew word here is hesed. It's one of the most important words in the whole of the Old Testament. It's said about 250 times. in the Old Testament, and it gets translated in different ways. Steadfast love, loving kindness, covenant love. But the main thing about Hesed is it's not just any kind of love. It's a love that has made a commitment. A love that has said this, I am not walking away. I am not walking away. And you know, this is covenant language. A covenant in the Bible, it's not the same thing as a contract. A contract says, if you keep your end, and I'll hold up mine. And if one side fails, then the other one is released. But a covenant is completely different. A covenant is an unconditional commitment that is fully based on the character of the person who makes it. And it says, God's Hesed, his covenant love reaches to 1,000 generations. That's not a literal number. That's the Hebrew way of saying without number. Think about what that means. God's faithfulness, it's not been broken over every single generation of his people. Through everything they went through every darkness, every exile, every loss, every persecution, every heartbreak, through all of the ups and downs of life, through centuries of waiting, his love never stopped for them. And it hasn't stopped for us here at Craig Owl this morning either. Now, the end of this verse, it might seem a wee bit uncomfortable. It says his covenant love is for those who keep, as for those who love him and keep his commandments. And that can sound like conditions, like it might be saying, be good enough, and then you'll get God's faithfulness. But that is not what it means at all. This is not saying that God becomes faithful to us when we obey, but it is saying it's about the shape of the relationship. It's talking about those who are in covenant, those who have responded to God's grace and want to live in line with his will. Think about it like this. A good dad or a good mum, their love for their children, it's not something that the children earn by being in their best behaviour. Their love is just there. And you know, of course we want our kids to be on their best behaviour. It's hard work when they're not. And again, Billy will know. Billy's seen me many times when I was a child and a teenager and definitely not on my best behaviour. And it's the reason people want you to be in their best behaviour, it's simply so you can be the best version of yourself. I tell that to the kids in the school all the time. We want them to make good choices, not because we'll love them more, because we love them. But it's purely because we want them to be the best version of themselves. We know that negative choices, because we're a bit further along the road than they are, and we know that they're not good. I remember Billy told me when I first came to faith, and I was going to the prison with Billy, we were doing prison fellowship, and Billy was the person, when I said to him, I could not believe the reoffending rates in Scotland was so bad. I couldn't believe, you know, the prisoner reoffending rates was so bad. And Billy said, and why are you surprised about that? He says, how many times do you reoffend in a day? And I thought, wow, that's powerful. How many times do I reoffend? In here and in here. So true. So we don't obey God to earn his love. We love because God first loved us. And out of that love, we want to live that way and share that with others. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he loved us first. So God loves us, and then we can share that. When we know that God loves us, we can then share that with others. But I want to take this a wee bit further, because here's the question. How do we actually know that this is true? How do we know that God really is the faithful God of covenant love? Well, we know because he's proved it. In our own lives, how many times, I always say it's a lifetime of work that God is doing in us to get us to fully trust him. How many times has God brought us through something else, another tragedy, another heartache, another painful situation, and brought us to this moment here where we're all sitting this morning? He has been faithful. And you know, the most amazing bit of faithfulness in all of human history, it happened 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross outside of Jerusalem, because God had made a covenant of love with his people, and sadly, his people had broken it. Over and over again, they chased other gods, they'd done their own thing, they went their own way. And you know, if God had been working on a contract basis and not a covenant, he would have been completely within his rights to walk away. to say, you've broke it and we are done. That's probably what most of us would do in here. I'm sure I would have done that. If someone had broken those things over so long, I'm sure I would have just went, you know what? You've broken it. I'm going to walk away. But that's not what happened here, because he, God, is the faithful God. Instead, God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God. He came and lived the perfect faithfulness, a life of perfect faithfulness that we could never, ever live ourselves. And then he took all of our unfaithfulness onto himself. He died in our place. He paid a debt that was not his to pay. He paid a debt that was not his to pay. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead, as if to say, with everything he had, I keep my promises. I do not abandon my people. I am the faithful God who loves you so, so much. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that every single promise of God finds its yes in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the living proof of Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. And so if you're here this morning, you might have never really put your trust in Jesus. You might have lived your life without him. I want to tell you that this faithful God, he's reaching out to you today. He's not asking you to clean yourself up first, definitely not. He's just asking you to come just as you are. And for those of us here this morning, maybe known him for a longer time, this is hopefully a wee reminder this morning that whatever we are carrying into this week, we are held by a faithful God. So let me finish with three things to take away this morning, hopefully try and apply what we've heard today to our own lives. The first one is this: let the faithfulness of God be the ground we stand on. Not our feelings, not our circumstances, not how well or badly we think we're doing in life or in spiritual things. The faithfulness of God does not change how we feel at any given time. It does not change with how we feel. It's amazing. And praise God that it doesn't. How many emotions and feelings do we feel in a day? We're up and down at times like a yo-yo. So thank goodness that the faithfulness of God does not change with how we feel at any given time. You know, he's the same God today that he was when he spoke to Moses. So remember that. You know, remember as well, the truth doesn't change depending on what we think. Someone once said that to me early days in my Christian journey, and it really freed me up. You know, that God is who he said he is, regardless if I believe it or not, regardless if I agree with it or not. The truth of who God is does not change depending on what I think or on what you think. And it's amazing, amazing when you grasp that. The second takeaway is this: let this change how we pray. If God truly is faithful, if his covenant really, love really does go to 1,000 generations, then when we pray, it's not just some wish and a hope that we're thrown up. We are talking to a God who hears us and who is completely reliable. So pray with confidence. But remember this, what I say all the time, say it many times before: prayer doesn't change God, but oh, how it changes us. Prayer doesn't change God, but it definitely changes us. And the third is this: let this change how we live. Because when we really understand that God is faithful to us because of who he is, something starts to change. Fear starts to ease slightly. We can become more generous with people. We can take risks for God. We can love difficult people. You know, we can even start to love ourselves, knowing too how difficult we can be at times. Because we are held. Because the God of covenant love has committed himself to us. And on Father's Day, whatever today has felt like for us, I hope that we can leave here this morning knowing that there is a Father in heaven whose love for us has never changed, not once, not ever. So may we know, therefore, that the Lord our God is God, and he is the faithful God this day and all the days of our lives. Amen.